And it's Wednesday, so that means we, of course, talk agriculture with the experts from Brandt's. Joining us on this Wednesday, Ed Corrigan, technical agronomist with Brandt's. And Ed, I guess, are we getting close to the finish line on the 2021 corn and soybean crops?
We are. We're a lot of the early number corn plants that are 110 day or below are starting to smash here at the research farm, going through the last few days before they hit black layer in the corn crop, which is really the death of that kernel. And so from there on, then it's a matter of losing some moisture. The soybeans, the 2.6s and 2.7s, as you drive down past the highway, you'll see those are actually senescing and starting to turn kind of a goldenrod and yellow. And they look gorgeous, but they are as well probably 3 weeks, maybe a month away from harvest on the beans. So we're getting close.
Well, with that thought in mind on the corn, go back to that a minute. Once we reach black layer, what's the moisture content once we get to black layer, and what kind of a daily reduction in moisture levels might you anticipate?
So when we reach black layer, we can consider that a lot of times an average of 30% moisture. It's probably going to vary from 35% moisture to maybe 28. So, but we think of it as 30% moisture, Roger, and that's really indicative of the hybrid itself, the nutrition that that stalk has in it. All those things kind of add together as to how that kernel is, and then it's going to drop typically, up to a half a point a day pretty easily. We consider that kind of normal. So that puts us back, if we're looking to harvest some 25% moisture, we add 10 days onto that black layer time beam. And that's really where a lot of growers may, you know, start diving in, testing their combine and their equipment out. And it's really dependent upon the amount of humidity in the air, the amount of sunshine. Those are key factors. If we get, of course, a windy evening and a windy day with lower than, say, 60% humidity, that really takes the moisture out quick, and we can drop it much faster than a half point a day.
So the weather that we've had this week, hot and humid, maybe not excessively hot, but definitely uncomfortable for us, and warmer nights, is that good for the final touches, I guess you would say, on test weight and kernel size?
So that'll actually speed the whole process of dry down, and when we speed that very quickly, the corn plant will actually lose the opportunity to push as much nutrition into the kernel. We still need to, get that sunshine. That's huge. But when we've got those 65-degree nights and 80-degree days, that would be what would be considered ideal. The humidity doesn't affect us too much as far as the corn plants go. It's more about that we get a little bit of breeze and fill it slowly. When it goes up into the 90s, that'll actually speed that, and we'll have the corn drive a little fast into that drying period, and that doesn't allow the nutrition to move out of the stalk and fully push 100% of that nutrition into the kernel.
From what you have observed at this point, what do you think kernel size is going to be? Average, below average, above? And what kind of test weights do you think? I'm thinking of people that might go out and use the mathematical equation to kind of do some yield estimates as to how many kernels per bushel.
Yeah, so I'm kind of considering this a crop with the amount of moisture. And, you know, and here in Pleasant Plains, we've had tremendous amount of moisture. It varies so much, kind of area to area, that it's probably not going to be exactly similar. But I would say it's going to be probably in that typical kernel size this year. I don't think they'll be extra huge unless we've had some pollination issues, you know, with that corn crop. But it looks like to me that we'll have a very good sized kernel. All that really falls back into what was the nutrition plan that grower utilized. And one of the things we're seeing here at the plots is when we turn off our sulfur in our first planting date, that corn is senescing and turning yellow right beside it, eight rows over. We've got with sulfur at planting time, and it's dark green yet. So that's going to drive that kernel size. That sulfur is really important in making the nitrogen efficiency, and kernel size and protein level is driven by nitrogen efficiency. The second item that we're really seeing is when we turn off potassium. So sulfur and potassium is driving these yields, and the ability of the nitrogen that the grower spent money on to be efficient with that plant.
Some of the fields I've noticed, there's kind of two different tails out there. I see fields that, you know, the plant is still just really good, dark green, and then others that are turning yellow, and that may just be on the outside edge. But does that kind of recognize or a visible sign of good nutrition?
It that yellowness is really, especially at the very top leaf, has been indicative of the last month now of sulfur deficiency. That has been a key characteristic that I've watched for the last 6 years at the research farm. When I turn off sulfur, that top leaf at the very up near the tassel is the first thing that turns yellow, and the rest of the plant will stay green. And now the whole plant is starting to go through senescence. And so that's really key. If we've got dark green top to bottom, that means that nutrition plan is working well for that grower.
And with that, when you have those dark green plants, I've noticed there again, some of the shucks on the ears are starting to turn and loosen up. And in some cases, the ears have grown out of the shucks almost. Does that open any doors for caution as far as perhaps moisture and growth on those ears? I mean, the kernels starting to grow or give us any disease problems?
It does, you know, and that's going to end up being a situation field to field, depending upon if we had earworm, for example, in there that allowed that diplodia or something like that to move in, say, a month ago, which is when the earworms kind of hit us back at when the sweet corns first started to become ripe. We had tremendous ear issues with the earworm. So we really don't see that as being a huge problem. That'll actually assist the dry down of that ear. If we would get into a rainy spell for, say, 15, 20 days in a row, and that would be an issue with that open ear to see some of those kernels get enough moisture, they'd start to germinate once they hit black layer.
Well, I know in my area on Monday afternoon, we had a storm go through and dump, in my case, 2 inches of rain. I did notice some lodging in some fields. How is the stock quality out there?
So the stock quality is really following the, once again, somewhat of the management of that soil. When we really see disease move into the stalks, a lot of times it's fusarium. Fusarium is known as crown rot. That is what works its way up through. And the biggest item that we, when we look at our arsenal to stop that, is potassium chloride. Both the potassium and the chloride, which is a mobile nutrient, really assist the corn to be able to withstand that fusarium. And that is what actually assists with that disease prevention. One of the things that the growers across the U.S. have started looking at is a new fungicide treatment that they're putting off to the side as they plant, called Zyway. That one looks like it's given a real good results. I'm getting good results across many, many states that if you put it on your starter of your planter over to the side, not in the furrow, but over to the side, the growers are very satisfied with their fusarium control, which is crown rot.
Well, I guess, as you mentioned, the soybeans, of course, some of those early planted beans got pretty high, and they're starting to lodge a little with the rain and the winds. But will that hinder the final yield output in terms of sunlight to some of those leaves?
It will. We will see some, but I've seen trial systems in the past out here where your tall, good-looking bean that did fall over still ended up winning the yield. So it doesn't mean it's devastating. It just means that plant has to recover, tried to stand back up, and the more that they stand back up, the more sunshine that we're able to take in, the earlier that you planted. That, if you look at the trials out here at Pleasant Plains, those earlier planting fell down a little bit more because they were a bigger bean, as you suggest, carrying a heavier load of soybeans, and they really are pushing ahead. The later planted beans, they're up about elbow high, but they are standing. I had a good windstorm yesterday afternoon. Standing out here looking at them today, they're doing just fine. Those late planted mid-May and June planted beans. So good size to them. We're going to have some excellent yields, it looks like, no matter what planting date we went out at.
So I guess in kind of summary here, as we talk about the visible deficiencies that may be showing up in some of these fields, a good opportunity now before harvest for producers to get with their Brandt consultant and go out and kind of look at those various fields and determine what the plan might be for next year?
That's right. It has been so awakening for growers to be able to see some of the visuals that we see right now as we start the senescence process, and what really changes that size of the ear, the value of the nitrogen. Growers are continually operating at a better and better knowledge of all 16 elements, and that's what's going to take to produce high yield corn and high yield soybeans in the future.
Has there been much SDS this year?
There's been very little. We've seen some. I yesterday traveling around, I saw some. A few growers sending me pictures, but it's right in the earliest planted beans, typically without a seed treatment, and typically those beans are a early number and they're starting to go through senescence. So don't see it as being as big or huge a problem because of the seed treatments. And once again, potassium chloride is one of those ways in which Brandt for the last 10 years has evaluated that as a tool to stop the sudden death and brown stem.
Well, and I think I asked the last time we talked a little bit real quickly for tar spot. I've heard that there has been some of that and some of the fungicides. As I understand it, maybe even if you used a fungicide, you might see the tar spot, but it might not affect the yield as if you hadn't treated.
That's right. And it's back to this senescence timing, your planting date, and the maturity of the corn. Out here at Pleasant Plains, this is the second year that I've seen a little bit of tar spot. It seems to be coming in on the non-treated acres the worst. We really are expecting it to not be a big issue for us, given the lateness that it came in. But this will be one of the diseases we'll really have to focus on in the future, and where we use fungicides that have the longer life on the plant and in the plant, those are the ones that are really going to minimize it. So just a speckling of tar spot isn't going to be critical given our late stages of maturity of our crop. If we had planted some corn, say, the 1st of June, and that is going to be something that we'll have to really see if it develops enough to really devastate the yields, take 30-40% out of that corn crop.
And again, our thanks to Ed Corrigan, a technical agronomist with Brandt, and certainly it seems like I don't know where most of the month of July went, let alone the first part of August. But again, a lot of people talking 3 weeks, and we'll probably see some combines in the field. I thank the folks over at the Farm Progress Show, because as you hear this, their media day is there. We'll be thankful that there's not as many people maybe into the field, but again, looks like in this area, pretty fortunate to have some pretty good crops, but you might want to evaluate some of those deficiencies that might be showing up in those fields. With that, we'll wrap up this edition of Talking Agriculture with the experts from Brandt Consolidated.